What's your favorite scary cocktail?
If you've been searching for the perfect way to elevate your horror movie nights, look no further. Cocktails from the Crypt is here to satiate even the most bloodthirsty killers with a collection of chilling cocktails. Created by us, your favorite horror podcasters and all-round weirdos, this horror movie cocktail recipe book is packed with movie trivia, cocktail tips, and hair-raising drinks crafted to pair seamlessly with the most iconic movies the horror genre has to offer.
Cocktails from the Crypt features 60 sinister sips, each designed to transport you into the heart of your favorite horror films, including the Texas Chainsaw Margarita, Freddy's Boilermaker, and the Frankenstein Fizz.
Don't miss your chance to be among the first to own this ultimate horror movie night companion. Pre-order Cocktails from the Crypt now from your favorite retailer. You know, like Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Bookshop.org, Chapters Indigo, Blackwell's, or you know what? Just head to nofspodcast.com/go. We've got all the links there for you.
And don't forget to follow Nightmare on Film Street on social media for exclusive sneak peeks and behind-the-scenes glimpses from the making of Cocktails from the Crypt.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm Kimmy.
I'm John.
And this week, we are talking about The Spawns of Satan.
Cue the hellfire, like... Like, we're fucking, like, metal and shit. This is...
transported.
Yeah. It's the 1980s, guys. The satanic panic is back. We're here. The beginning of this movie tells you that at this time, in 1980...
The year was 1980-something.
70%
of
Americans...
Parents everywhere were afraid.
And 70% of them believed in there was some sort of satanic practice going on.
Your neighborhood.
And I love the add-on to it. Like, the other 30% rationalized the lack of evidence as some sort of government cover-up. Which is to say, 100% of America believed that there were Satanists out there doing satanic black magic shit.
Okay, so we're talking about House of the Devil.
We're talking about Ty West's The House of the Devil.
And it has that title card up.
About
Satanism in the 80s, which I don't know if it's necessary, but it's there.
It sets the mood. Everybody loves a good title card as long as the font's fun.
Okay.
Yeah. Which brings me to our three good things about The House of the Devil. Now, last week we talked about The First Omen. This week we're closing out this series. We're talking about The Spawn of Satan, which is a mild spoiler for The House of the Devil if you haven't seen it. But I mean... it's a great title.
What else are Satanists doing?
Yeah, like either they're going to kill
it's
you.
It's an eclipse.
Yeah.
They have a spooky house.
They need a babysitter.
Why would they need a babysitter,
John? They need a babysitter because they're spawning Satan.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. We're gonna peel back the curtain a little bit. We've been fighting off air, on and off, about whether or not to call these episodes The Spawn of Satan or Spawning Satan.
I thought Spawning Satan was less of a spoiler and could just refer to Satanists doing things.
That only works if you're saying we're respawning Satan, like we're playing a video
game.
Isn't
that essentially what you're doing when you're birthing The Spawn of Satan?
It depends whether or not you believe.
You know,
he
it's
was
like
ever
the Holy Trinity thing, but the reverse. You know, like Jesus is God, is the Spirit, is.
So metal to you know.
Little
Nicky
is Satan. Is.
Either mimicry is the most elegant form of flattery, or it's just like really metal. You know.
The devil is a funhouse mirror, John.
Devil's a funhouse mirror. Good thing number one for the house of the devil. Pure late 70s, early 80s vibes.
So I know this movie is set in the 80s, and you can tell by the good thing number two soundtrack, but
okay,
it has total 70s vibes.
Yeah.
Like the zooms,
the
film
zooms,
grain.
The film grain. The
yellow
the
title card.
Yeah, the yellow title card. The freeze
flippy
frames.
Bangs.
Everybody's cold. They're filming it at a time.
It's brown.
That is, yes, it's very brown. It's very orange. Now, normally when I put together pre-shows at home to get in the mood for these movies, I'm usually pulling clips and trailers for movies that came out in the same year to sort of just like, oh, let's give us a sense.
But
of
that
like,
doesn't work for 2009 when you're watching a 70s-esque film.
Well, it definitely doesn't work for this movie from 2009. Yeah, my entire pre-show that I put together for us was just 70s movies and 70s PSAs about Stranger Danger and 70s pizza delivery commercials from Shakey's. Some of my best work, frankly.
I was really ready for the movie by the time it started.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has been singing the praises of X and Pearl and Maxine, and Ty West has done a great job sort of recreating that time era in those movies, but I don't think he did as good a job as he did with The House of the Devil.
Because it's not just the styling, whereas I think the X trilogy is really great with the theming,
yeah,
and the fashion and the hair and stuff, oh, whereas House of the Devil, it nails that stuff, but then it also feels like that era in the pacing and the cuts.
Yes.
And the zooms.
Yeah, everything about it. The way it's put together, you could give this movie to somebody and lie to them, and they might believe you that it came out in the 70s.
Except for Tom Noonan's old.
Except that Tom Noonan's old, but he's not exactly a character. Is that good thing number three?
Tom Noonan!
I fucking love Tom Noonan. Anytime he shows up in anything, I'm like, this guy's a rock star.
He's so genteel, but terrifying in this.
Yes! And that's why he was perfectly cast in Mindhunter. He delivers all that shit. But
is he really super tall?
He is super tall.
He was so tall when he answered the door.
I think they exaggerated a little bit.
He was 63 feet tall.
I think he was standing on milk crates when he answered the door. Yeah, no, Tom Noonan's great. Love him as Frankenstein in the Monster Squad. Anytime he shows up, he is a delight. Is that actually our good thing number three?
Yep.
Okay, good thing number three and a half. Girl gets shot in the face and her fucking head explodes. It is great practical effects. Like, it explodes in a way that a head would not explode if it was being shot. It's just awesome practical effects. Okay, well, there you have it. Those are our three good things for The House of the Devil. Also, the devil's in it, guys.
The devil in it?
It's set during an eclipse. There's a vibe of the devil. The devil's usually of an emotion, right? Or a feeling.
It's the devil in our hearts that counts.
Yeah, it's not like the first omen. You don't always get a creepy hand reaching out from a girl's crotch. You know, like, it's sometimes he's just on the wind.
Sometimes you're working with a lower budget.
I can tell you like it.
I love it. It's perfect. About the deposit?
I'll agree to waive all the deposit stuff. You just give me the first month's down, we'll call it a day, all right? It's hard coming up with all that money, isn't it?
It's gonna work out.
You're not the one with $84 in a bank account and a check to write on Monday.
You know what you should do.
Hi, I'm calling in regards to the babysitter flyer posted outside my dorm.
The night's big eclipse is now well underway.
I feel a little weird just dropping you out here, like in the middle of wherever we are.
Because I've not been completely honest.
We're from the desert, you know.
You see, we actually don't have a child.
They lied to you.
I know.
They're liars.
Okay, I know you're right. But it's $400. This equals first month's rent and then some, and all I have to do is sit inside and watch TV. This is huge. This one night changes everything for me.
Here we go.
You're not the babysitter.
Oh my God.
Talk to me, Lord. Talk to me.
West's The House of the Devil, the movie that introduced the world to Ty West, is currently sitting at a 6.3 out of 10 on IMDb, 85% on Rotten Tomatoes. I bet the audience rating's higher, right? Ooh, audience rating 63%. Goddamn.
Ooh.
And a 3.3 out of 5 on Letterboxd, which almost perfectly reflects that audience rating on Letterboxd.
I think people need to revisit House of the Devil.
I think so, too. Revisiting this movie now is an interesting experiment, because every indie horror movie now, I shouldn't say every indie horror movie, but so many indie horror movies now feel a lot like The House of the Devil.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to harken back to some sort of like nostalgic era. It's got a plot and a pacing that almost wants you to forget what kind of movie you're watching. You get invested in these characters. Like, ooh, we got a sneaky little appearance from Dee Wallace. Hello, Dee. Nice to see you. But in 2009, this movie was a breath of fresh air, man.
Yeah, we were running on an extremely different pace during that period.
It was all torture porn and serial killer biopics. Biopics.
Yeah, like you weren't watching movies with one main character that didn't come with a group of friends as her body count.
Yeah.
She had one friend as a body count.
Yeah, and they do a great job of ratcheting tension and creating suspense when there's no one around but her. Like, obviously she's not going to die 40 minutes in. Otherwise, what's the rest of the movie going to be?
That's maybe the most skillful thing about this movie. And it should be required watching for any indie filmmaker that's working with an extremely limited budget on being able to create tension, engage your audience, and keep them hooked without having shit happen.
Yeah.
There's such a smart way that it's handled where you're not bored at all.
Never.
And you like Sam. We know she's in danger because they've established very early on that shit's not right here.
Uh-huh.
Her friend is shot in the face.
Yeah.
Away from the house.
Away from her.
She doesn't have alarm bells up other than the fact that the circumstances are a little iffy. But she's in a cat and mouse and she's not fully aware of it yet. And we don't necessarily reveal the cat until the third act of the movie.
It's crazy, right? It's one of those things where if it's not scary, and not every horror fan gets to read the screenplay or anything, but like in terms of the people making the movie, if there isn't tension, if there isn't scares and like anticipation on the page when you're reading the script, and then it's not going to be on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's all in how the information gets delivered. And like, yeah, we're playing with existing tropes. A girl goes in for a babysitting job. It's not quite what she expects it to be. She's not babysitting a child. She's actually babysitting an older woman who she never sees. The guy who's hiring her is like, it's maybe too good to be true.
It's
the entire opportunity.
It's a great balance where you're creeped out, but then Tom Noonan really reels you back in with his like apologetic gentleness.
But yeah, there's just a smirk on his face where you're like, I don't know if we should trust him.
Yeah, and he says weird things sometimes, and you're like, how weird was that? If I think about it, it was really weird, but it also, I could have misheard it. And he also pays her $400 in whatever, 1983 or whatever this is set, which is a lot of money for 4 hours of work.
And she's got $83 in her bank account, and she needs to
write a... She's got to pay Dee Wallace by Monday.
Yeah, she's got a adorably sweet landlady in Dee Wallace. She needs to give her $300 by Monday. She's finally going to get out of her dorm apartment where it seems like her roommate is basically just turning it into just a crash pad where she's just banging all day and sleeping all night. And Greta Gerwig, her best friend, Megan, sees through the charade immediately. Or at the very least, she knows something.
She's a good friend. She's
real
like,
good friend.
This is sketchy and you're out way too far from town.
Yeah. But of course, Sam needs the money and this is too good to pass up. There's two great lines back to back where Greta Gerwig says, you know, if it's too good to be true, it probably is, which is Ooh, that's some
if
rationale.
If only every character in a horror movie thought like that.
Well, also, in real life, sometimes we all get duped by that. It's how people get scammed. Like, it's how countless people are being scammed every fucking day.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves is not messaging you on Instagram.
But then, right after that, Sam says, hey, look, honestly, you're being a great friend right now, but I need this.
You're being a great friend right now, but shut
fuck
up.
Off. Yeah. Get in your car and die at the end of the driveway, please.
And she does.
She doesn't make it off the property.
No, I think the house is on a cemetery, or there's a cemetery surrounding the house, but she pulls off there to like light a smoke. She has trouble lighting a smoke. There's a scare where a guy just like happens to have a lighter near her car window.
Yeah.
And then he finds out she's not the babysitter and he shoots her in the face. And it's very jarring and it's super sudden, and you're not expecting a scare that huge that early on.
Yeah, he's also...
He turns her face into pizza.
It is such a great practical gag, because her head explodes like a fucking cannon shot her.
And it's so contrary to what you are anticipating of the movie, because it really lulls you into that 70s pace. Like, it's like, very quiet. It's got a hangout vibe. We're following Sam as she gets pizza with Greta Gerwig. Yeah. I don't remember her name, so we're just going to keep calling her Greta Gerwig.
I think it's Megan, but let's keep calling her Greta Gerwig.
And even the opening titles are like long and extended, and it's just Sam walking around her campus with her hat and mittens on, and we freeze frame to put like the director and the producer and the whatever. It just lulls you into this sense of security as to the pace of the movie.
Yeah.
So when her face explodes, you're not anticipating it.
Don't you love it when you're surprised by an exploding face? What a great gag.
I mean, most times I'm surprised with an exploding face.
You don't usually
face.
See it coming. It's not always somebody
except
jumping
in
the hood of a
Scanners,
car.
Scanners, you know it's coming.
Oh, yeah. And it's all partly because we expect the horror of it all to be coming from in the house. You don't even think it's necessarily Tom Noonan. Like, maybe he's left her there and grandma's a vampire or something, right? There's like a whole bunch of different options. Well,
and also, the couple that have hired Sam, they look like the Addams Family. Maybe they're dead. Maybe they're haunted. Maybe they're ghosts that are haunting the cemetery.
Oh, and that's why he couldn't come meet her at the university.
They don't have a fully alive vibe.
Yeah, they are both wearing ribbons around their neck that they can't take off.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, they're definitely just a little too weird, especially for this farmhouse. Why are they wearing furs in the farmhouse?
Furs in the farmhouse. Are they, like, band name?
More of an album name than a band name.
Whatever.
But, but you're really not expecting something so human to be shot, is the other thing. You're like, oh, this has to be supernatural. And then when somebody's just flat out murdered, you're like, I don't know what's going on here anymore.
Yeah, and we don't even know who the character is that shoots her. It's the first time we see him, and so we're like, what?
Yeah, there wasn't any sort of lead up. We didn't get like a leering stare. He wasn't hiding behind a tree somewhere. It's just some guy who, you know, weird that he's hanging out by the cemetery, but I mean...
Maybe he works there.
Oh, maybe he's hunting ghosts.
With a gun.
Yeah. Regardless, there's a big, long, extended sequence where Sam's waiting for pizza. That is the middle chunk of this movie. Like, what happens in the middle of the House of the Devil? Like, oh, a girl waits for a pizza to be delivered.
Which is all of us, am I right?
And you know the funny thing is that Tom Noonan is very adamant that she get a pizza.
Oh, yeah. He's like, make sure you get the pizza.
Yeah, there's a number on the fridge. There's a number here. This is where we'll be. Did I mention that there's a number for pizza delivery on the fridge?
Only use that number.
Yeah, that's the thing. Only use that number.
Well, it makes sense because their house is, they've established, quite far out from town, so maybe this is the only pizza place that will deliver here. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I've been
he
to
said that.
I know, I've been to family friends' houses where it's just like, oh, well, pizza is the only one that'll come out here.
Yeah, like, it sucks, but I mean, the wings are okay, right?
Actually, I think she orders from Pizza.
She does.
I think it's called Pizza.
So let's take a step back. Pizza is a pizza.
You've
chain.
Done this before.
Have
on
I?
The podcast. Yes, it tastes like cardboard.
It tastes
let's
like cardboard, but the fucking french fries are amazing.
The wedges.
The wedges are amazing. Yeah, and then who would deliver the pizza but AJ Bowen, the guy who shot Greta Gerwig in the face.
Yeah, which... I don't know if I'd pick this up on earlier watches, but there's kind of just a throwaway comment that the couple that that are hiring Sam have a grown son. So it is obviously their son.
Yeah, like it's never established, I don't think,
no,
but
like
that's
they,
always what I'm
well,
always
and just saying. How mom reacts later when,
oh, that's
when
true.
He does not survive.
There is very much a mother reaction to seeing her dead son.
Exactly. But it's never outright said. Like, no. The film is very good about not smothering you in exposition.
Yeah.
Everything is just left to linger and to ponder over. Like, a lot of the time in the middle of the movie, Sam is just doing what a teenager would do or an early college age student would do when they're in this huge mansion. She's just exploring. She's just snooping. And the more she goes through the house, the less you feel like that family belongs there.
Why
do they have a pool table? Who is feeding that goldfish? It's not Lurch.
No, not at all. And like, they definitely still have a bedroom that's decorated for a young son.
And it's got cowboys.
Yeah, right? And then there's a great moment where she finds...
It's a cool bedroom. It's...
There's a great moment. Kim just loves wallpaper. She doesn't care what it is.
I do.
She just wants wallpaper to come back in a big way, and she doesn't want it to cost thousands of dollars.
It's so
you should
expensive.
Not have to take out a loan at the bank to get wallpaper.
Wallpaper is so expensive because only like 4 people do it now.
Yeah, we're never going to get wallpaper.
I want it.
I want wallpaper so bad. We have this Bigfoot wallpaper we've been wanting to get. Like, it's totally normal wallpaper. Like, oh, hey, look, a forest. But like, is that Bigfoot peeking out from behind a tree over there?
Yeah, who doesn't want hidden Bigfoot wallpaper?
God, I want hidden Bigfoot wallpaper. This week's episode of Nightmare on Film Street is brought to you by Diabolik DVD. You already know these guys. For 25 years, Diabolik DVD has been the source for horror, cult, and weird cinema to customers around the world. Diabolik offers a one-stop shopping experience for all your favorite labels, including Cauldron Films, Arrow, Synapse, Def Crocodile, Mondo Macabro, and many more from all corners of the globe. Whether you're looking for the definitive version of City of the Living Dead, or you're trying to upgrade your crusty old DVD of Cannibal Holocaust, Diabolik DVD is the owner-operated small business choice you've been craving. Shop online at DiabolikDVD.com and visit their sister company, Cauldron-Films.com. P.S. All orders are shipped in a box because they're not jerks and they know you don't want your Blu-rays damaged when you get them. That's DiabolikDVD.com, spelled DiabolikDVD.com. Get yourself some physical media, because there's no streaming service out there better than your own DVD shelf.
We might be too old for free candy, but we're not going to let that stop us from having a ghoul time. This October, we're playing Trick or Treat with the Spirits of Halloween over at the Nightmare on Film Street Fiend Club on Patreon.
Each week, we're pulling movies at random from our spooky mystery cauldron. It's a McDonald's boo bucket. And we're either going to be given a treat, that's a horror movie we really want to talk about, or a trick, a horror movie we hoped we'd never have to discuss in public.
Join us as we let the spirit of Halloween take the wheel and play Trick or Treat with the Nightmare on Film Street podcast, only on our Patreon at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub. That's nofspodcast.com/fiendclub.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Where was I? We were talking about a movie, right?
The house. The cowboys.
Yeah.
Doesn't belong.
There's a great sequence where she finds... Well, she smashes a vase, and while she's trying to clean up the vase, she ends up pulling out a piece from inside a closet. In the closet, we find furs, which the old lady said she was looking for in the basement.
Lie!
Total lie! And in there, she finds a black plastic bag, a garbage bag, and in it, there's a whole bunch of family photos, including photos that look relatively recent and have a red Volvo.
And they're taken out front of... that house.
Exactly. So we're really pretty. So even Sam is starting to get worried that maybe something's going on. These people aren't who they say they are.
Yeah, I don't know if she wants to put the thought out there that maybe this isn't their house.
Yeah.
But the feeling is there.
Yeah. The other thing that's sort of simmering, in the back of her mind...
Is where is the pizza?
Where... It has been 31 minutes.
You know what stresses me out the most is she puts headphones on. She's listening to banging tracks. The soundtrack to this movie is fucking awesome.
She's listening to The Fix.
But she's not listening for pizza. She's dancing. She's playing pool.
It's like, so funny. I thought of that too.
How long is she expecting the pizza to take?
How are you going to know when the pizza gets here? You know why? It's because headphones back in 1980 were not like noise-canceling earbuds or whatever you get now. Somebody could be like, hey, Sam, it's me. I'm right behind you. And you would hear it. You know, headphones used to suck. They were just like these teeny little things with the weirdest little, like,
they were just sponges.
Sponges, that's the word I'm looking for. To just sort of dampen the sound a little bit and make it easier to put in your ear. Man, the worst was when your headphones would start to short out and you'd get, like, zapped in the fucking ear. Do you remember that?
No!
You never did that? You never tried to stretch it?
Yeah. Were you listening in the tub or something?
No, I was just too poor to buy new headphones and I really needed to listen to The Offspring.
Ah, the 80s. 90s.
Anyway, what's simmering in the back of her mind isn't necessarily that the pizza hasn't arrived yet. It's that she's trying to get a hold of Megan. She's trying to call Greta Gerwig, and she keeps getting her voicemail. And she should be home by now. She's starting to get creeped out. She can't get a hold of her friend. It doesn't make any sense. Nothing's adding up, and everything is just... It's feeling like she really shouldn't be there. And then, this is such a great subtle bit in this movie.
Subtle but jarring.
Subtle but jarring, where she's walking around, she's opening doors, she's checking shit out, and then one room that she can't open, the camera just decides to float over the wall and show you what's in there, and it's the fucking family that used to live in that house that's been murdered. Their fucking, like, 10-year-old son is inside this satanic pentagram, and Sam is just... hanging out, waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, they're massacred in there in a cult scene. There's blood everywhere. And it's so quick, it's so jarring. We were just getting hungry again for a scare, and it delivers.
That is the thing. Ty West edited this movie. I know he wrote it as well. And so, like, every step of the way, I'm sure he's imagining being a viewer. Like, he's writing the movie, he's directing the movie, he's editing the movie that he wants to see. And then I think he's just putting himself in the position of the audience. Remember going like, well, if I
when
was watching
this... When
would
I start to get a little bored?
Exactly. It's like, when we need to do something here, because this is where I'd maybe want to get up to get popcorn or go to the bathroom. Like, oh shit, I can't leave now. It's about to pop off. The best. That is one of the masterstrokes of this movie.
Yeah, and you can tell either they don't have a lot of resources to do this big hoorah finish, or they didn't want to. Because the ending of this movie is quick.
Very quick.
It's super quick. Like, Sam is one. She's super proficient. She gets rid of the three cultists pretty relatively quick.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the cultists. But not before... Is it Granny? Are we?
I have no idea.
Are we believing it's Granny?
It might be. What if it's the devil himself? It's somebody with a you know, demon-y, satanic-type face.
Makes her drink their blood. And the eclipse is happening. There's some other, you know, satan-y pentagram stuff, blood, which... gets her pregnant?
I love how much you're yada, yada, yada-ing over all of it. Yeah, like, she finally gets attacked by the family, tied up in the basement in a pentagram. She drinks a bunch of blood.
Okay,
I'm yada, yada, yada.
So there is a little skippy-doo because she passes out because the pizza was poison.
Yeah, that's exactly why they... I always assumed that they were controlling her calling for pizza. So that way there was never any evidence that she was there.
No, oh, okay.
Nobody ever got a phone call. They kill her friend
That's
as
smart.
She's leaving.
Yeah. This is also smart.
But it's also so that way they can deliver her
it's also so
pizza.
It's their pizza.
And they do, this is such a small, tiny little thing, but they do such a great job of you not suspecting that.
Because Greta Gerwig earlier in the movie is like, the pizza's shit today.
Yeah, like
and you're like, oh,
just
the pizza's
gross.
Just shit in this town.
Yeah, like she takes a bite, she spits it out. You're like, that's pretty common. It sounds like all the pizza in this town sucks. Connecticut does not have good pizza, from what I'm learning.
For a second there, I was like, wait, does the family own the pizza shop?
You just thought they're poisoning everybody?
Kinda. I was trying to correlate the two.
Oh, yeah. Man, I fucking love satanic shit happening on an eclipse. It's almost par for the course at this point. Every satanic movie.
Yeah, can you
movie,
not have an eclipse?
I think maybe Rosemary's Baby's the only one.
Is there no eclipse in Rosemary's Baby?
As I'm saying it out loud, I don't know.
Has anyone looked at the moon in that movie?
What's that thing they do on the Scrabble board? All of them eclipses? Is that what it is?
Good job, John.
Yeah, no, love an eclipse. She manages to escape. She fights off some of her attackers. She stabs most of them. She discovers Greta Gerwig's body, which does not need to be there,
yeah,
but it's like such
it
a fun
house,
detail.
Like Jason Voorhees style when he's setting everybody up like a birthday party. Greta Gerwig is like all over the kitchen floor.
It'll be real fun if we leave her here so that way we all slip on her blood.
Almost everyone falls in that spot.
Yeah, she's just a giant human-sized banana peel at the end of the movie.
If this was Mario Kart, she's three banana peels.
And then, you know, she's escaping. She's running away. She's managed to sort of wrestle a gun from the Satanists. And she's sort of trapped in the graveyard where Tom Noonan corners her. And he's just pleading.
He's bleeding out. Like, he's ready to go.
Oh, yeah. Like, but he's like, definitely going to die, too.
Have the baby.
Yeah, just it's okay. It's almost done. Just have the baby.
It's already happening.
Yeah, the eclipse is almost done. And, he's basically saying, like, there's no sense fighting it. You know, like, it's okay. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's done. There's nothing you could do about
it. Well, also, she's experiencing some level of not necessarily possession, but the devil is in her head.
Oh, yeah.
She's got whispers. She's got flashes of maybe granny, maybe devil, whoever that creature thing was that was
yes,
impregnating her.
Another classic 70s move, right? Let's bring out grandpa. Let's bring out grandma.
Yeah, I think it might have been mom.
It might have been.
And mom's like, you know, because she's a Satanist, maybe she's a little extra stale. Like,
she's been extra stale.
No, I'm just saying that maybe because being a Satanist, you get to live a little longer. So she's like 160. Tom Noonan's like 110. You know
looking
what I mean?
Great.
I think they're past their expiration date, but they're still kicking.
Yeah. And of course, she pulls up the Trump card, though, when they say that there's essentially like there's nothing she can do.
The balls on this final girl.
Yeah.
There's no hoorah about it. All of this fighting she did to survive to get out to the cemetery. And she's presented with this like, well, you're pregnant with the devil's baby. And she just shoots herself in the head.
Isn't that? It's so insane. And it's nuts to think that she's only had maybe 15 minutes to process everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was like, maybe there's something wrong, but maybe everything's totally fine. I mean, there's no big deal. Like, I did have a bit of a hallucinatory sequence while trying to see what was in the attic upstairs.
Yeah,
moment.
She did the quickest pros and cons list I have ever seen.
Yeah, she's like, one, two, skip a few. I'm shooting myself in the goddamn head.
I mean, it was the right decision.
It was the right, yeah.
Except.
She doesn't die. How is that how is that like, oh, you almost did it, girl. I love, too, when we sort of, like, cut ahead to the future a little bit. It's the next day. The news reports are coming on the TV in the hospital room talking about how the eclipse last night happened way faster than the physicists thought possible.
What do you think that means? I was like,
I think that is a bit of a misdirect.
Is it because they got her pregnant within the time and the eclipse didn't have to stay for 2 hours? Or?
Okay, so like I kept thinking of the actual eclipse, the event of the eclipse. I don't think they poison her and tie her up in the basement until the eclipse starts happening.
Mm-hmm.
And like an actual eclipse doesn't last terribly long.
No.
You know, it's like maybe an hour at most. So I think that they start doing the ceremony once the waxing of the moon or the waning of the moon or whatever, like once the event starts happening. And it's kind of more like an hourglass. If you can finish the ritual by the time the eclipse is done, then she's pregnant with the spawn of Satan. And I think what they're trying to say at the end
is the devil cheated?
Because she shot herself. Like, the eclipse was always a satanic event.
Yeah.
But because she shot herself, the ritual got interrupted, and it was sort of like a record scratch. And so the moon just, like, skipped a beat, and then the eclipse was like, well, we don't need to be here any longer.
Yeah.
I think what they're trying to make us think is that, oh, good, the pregnancy didn't happen.
Oh, okay. All right. But obviously, the devil's like, you're just shooting yourself in the face. That's fine. I can handle this.
What's
you're
that?
Going to be alive still.
Yeah, you're in America, the Catholic capital. You're coming to me, baby. Like, that's the only thing that's going to happen, right? You got to hope that if that's the situation, that God's like, I mean, you did me a solid, you know? You stopped the Antichrist from hitting Earth. We're going to let you come upstairs.
If there's ever a suicide loophole, it's definitely killing yourself because you've been impregnated with the spawn of Satan,
right? That's got to be it, yeah. But we learn from the nurse, while Sam is unconscious, that it's okay, honey. You're going to be all right. ... both of you. You know, so like, it's all for naught. She is still pregnant.
But I think this is like the perfect scenario for the devil, because she's probably in a induced coma.
Yeah.
Because of the brain damage. So who's to say if she's going to even wake up and be conscious in enough time to handle the pregnancy? She might wake up with the spawn of Satan already having come and gone out of her.
I mean, it's 1980. She might not have anything to do about it.
That's
at
true.
All. 1980 in America. Who knows? I have no idea what the laws were like back then.
And who knows what the gestation period is on the devil? When she's like, oh, on her belly, I just assumed she was going to like swell up and have the baby immediately.
Yeah, right? It's like 666 seconds. It's just a great way to end a movie, right? Like, because it's a bit of a mystery. Like, oh, is there going to be a sequel? There's obviously more to this story. We just end on a note where, like, maybe the devil won. It's a great way to go out, and it's a classic 1970s move.
Yeah, this movie is such a banger. To be fair, like, all of the Satanist stuff is in the latter half of the movie, and I think the first half is my favorite.
Oh, yeah, where you don't really know what's going on.
I just vibe with the pace and the style of this movie. And Sam is just such a great character. Like, you just want to watch her. You want to hang out with her.
This is why we like The Innkeepers so much, because it's all that. The entire movie is the long, drawn-out pace with great characters, good storytelling, just like a forbidding sort of sense of doom.
And
like,
then a really good ghost.
And then a real good bride ghost, yeah.
Actually, fun fact, they were staying. We noticed this in the credits, and I was like, that's really familiar. They stayed at the Yankee Peddler Inn.
Oh, you said this. It did not occur to me until right now.
Yeah, so when they filmed this movie, and I guess a lot of the cast had spooky things happening, which led to them writing The Innkeepers, which is set at the
Amazing.
Yankee Peddler Inn.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What a great connection.
So they're kind of spiritual sequel.
Do you like this movie more than The Innkeepers? Do you know?
Yeah, right now I would say House of the Devil is my favorite Ty West film.
Yeah.
Asterisk, I need to revisit The Innkeepers first.
Yeah, asterisk, you need to revisit like the last 5 minutes of The Innkeepers. Mm-hmm. Like, God damn, The Innkeepers is great. The House of the Devil has an aesthetic quality that The Innkeepers can't touch. Frankly, that even Ty West can't touch. I mean, he's already done hella 70s movies, and it's like, it's a completely different style. It's a completely different approach to a 70s story. But goddamn, this is a bullseye in terms of what they were trying to achieve. And yeah, I don't know. I think I'm also like, House of the Devil, probably my favorite. Until I rewatch The Innkeepers.
Yeah.
I think if I really gotta like,
they're
stamp
definitely
it.
Holding one and two. Sorry, yeah. Guys. They're my top Ty West.
Story wise, I think House of the Devil probably edges ahead a little bit. So yeah, I'm probably House of the Devil, then The Innkeepers, and the rest.
And then the trilogy. Yeah.
And then that segment in VHS. I actually really like that segment in VHS. And then
the trilogy. And then Pearl, and then Maxine.
Sure.
Right?
We're skipping a couple other movies that he's made, but yes, those are...
Well, isn't there like a Western? Like, those don't count.
I have not seen the Western. I've heard it's pretty good. There's also The Sacrifice he did, I think it's called
Is
The Sacrifice.
Is it The Sacrament? Or the
Sacrament, yeah. The found footage one. It's kind of like a Jonestown massacre kind of thing.
Yeah, I need to revisit that one too.
It was all right.
Yeah, I remember being all right.
Yeah. We were also just found footaged out at that time. That was like during the glut. Okay, fine. Kim's never been found footaged out. It's never happened. She's never watched too many of them. She still has a found footage sized hole in her heart she's trying to fill always.
Okay, so what are you rating House of the Devil?
Ooh, House of the Devil is...
4 out of 4?
Fucking incredible.
Is it a 4 out of 4?
Especially, it's like a 3.75. And then when you think of it as an indie movie with no budget and just like no crew, there are so few people working on it. It is such an achievement. For an indie movie, I think it's a 4 out of 4.
Yeah, like I had a couple issues with some of the fade to blacks and the weird cuts. Which, so I was like, are we breaking for commercial?
I don't remember that ever.
Yeah,
so.
I also just don't fucking care.
Yeah, I don't give a shit. Yeah, this was a 4 out of 4.
Yeah, absolutely.
God damn, what a great movie. And just feels like Halloween. Everybody's cold. There's leaves everywhere. It really could be Halloween. If you ask me.
There is kind of a Christmas song playing from the clock tower, but we'll ignore that.
I don't think that the clock tower is... I think that song is playing all year.
But it's kind of a Christmas.
But it's kind of Christmassy, yeah.
It's a spooky Christmas song. But
okay,
it's...
well, right now, this month, I am claiming it as a Halloween movie. And then as soon as Thanksgiving happens in America, it is now a Christmas movie, baby. Anyway, that's what we thought of Ty West's The House of the Devil. Let us know where this falls in your Ty West ranking and what you think of this 70s spawn of Satan. Hit us up in the on social media, wherever you're following Nightmare on Film Street. You can find a link in the podcast episode description. You can also chat with us in the Nightmare on Film Street Discord at nofspodcast.com/discord.
If you need some more Halloween goodies before the big night, join us on Patreon. We've been recording a special Halloween series called Trick or Treat, and there's a whole bunch of episodes there waiting for you if you subscribe. That is at patreon.com/nightmareonfilmstreet.
We'll be back again next week, but until then, I'm John.
I'm Kimmy.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
Get ready to scream, shiver, and maybe even lose a little sleep. It's time for Nightmare on Film Street's 31-Day Horror Challenge. 31 horror movies, 31 days, 31 chances to win a spooktastic prize pack to help keep Halloween alive 365.
This year's prize pack includes goodies from Nightmare on Film Street's new upcoming book, Cocktails from the Crypt, 4K remastered copies of Demons and Demons 2, a Stephen King Blu-ray box set, Spirit Halloween lunchboxes, pumpkin carving kits, Halloween CD soundtracks, including the long out-of-print Monsters Speak, Nightmare on Film Street sticker packs, and more.
The rules are simple. Head over to nofspodcast.com/Halloween. Download the 31-Day Horror Challenge Movie Guide and post your Halloween watch list on social media using the hashtag 31-Day Horror Challenge to make this Halloween a night you'll never forget.
That's nofspodcast.com/Halloween and the hashtag 31-Day Horror Challenge.
What's your favorite scary cocktail? If you've been searching for the perfect way to elevate your horror movie nights, look no further. Cocktails from the Crypt is here to satiate even the most bloodthirsty killers with a collection of chilling cocktails. Created by us, your favorite horror podcasters and all-round weirdos, this horror movie cocktail recipe book is packed with movie trivia, cocktail tips, and hair-raising drinks crafted to pair seamlessly with the most iconic movies the horror genre has to offer.
Cocktails from the Crypt features 60 sinister sips, each designed to transport you into the heart of your favorite horror films, including the Texas Chainsaw Margarita, Freddy's Boilermaker, and the Frankenstein Fizz.
Don't miss your chance to be among the first to own this ultimate horror movie night companion. Pre-order Cocktails from the Crypt now from your favorite retailer. You know, like Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Bookshop.org, Chapters Indigo, Blackwell's, or you know what? Just head to nofspodcast.com/go. We've got all the links there for you.
And don't forget to follow Nightmare on Film Street on social media for exclusive sneak peeks and behind-the-scenes glimpses from the making of Cocktails from the Crypt.